Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and well, if we're here at 5 o'clock, that means two things are happening. Dan the Man is not here, but Sean Burks 2 is.
I am here, ready to go.
All right, if you want to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for them over there. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. Don't forget the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, we still don't have Stu on Twitter yet, but I am out there at Burke Time if you want to hunt me down, so we can check that out. But, all right, lots and lots of trade stuff. We finally got the two names that everybody wouldn't shut up about dealt, and it seems like everybody either traded one or acquired a relief pitcher.
Yeah, there's some interesting moves, especially the one by the Dodgers.
Yeah, you know, they get Hugh Darvish. You know, he was one of the other big names. They sent three prospects to the Rangers. Second baseman Willie Calhoun apparently is the best of them. They also sent another infielder by the name of Brendan Davis and a right-handed pitcher by the name of A.J. Alexi. Now, you know, of course, you know, we've never seen these guys or any of this fun stuff, but I can tell you that Davis was number 92 on the Baseball America Top 100 and number 82 ranked by Major League Baseball. He is in AAA, so he's not too far away. And they did say he's a power hitter. He's got 23 homers and 24 doubles in Oklahoma City this year. And he's just 22 years old. So he looks like the best of the bunch there.
These various moves that have been made, what do you think, 2 to 3 years before we really tell how they turn out?
Yeah, you know, it's always so tough to decide. I mean, we've seen or heard, or, you know, this guy's the future of this and this guy's the future of that. And, you know, if that was true, you know, the Cubs outfield would be Corey Patterson, Felix PA, and one other guy right now, you know, all going on what about their 15th year. Yeah, being 15 years of being star players, you know, it just, for whatever reason, you know, like the Mariners yesterday just released a guy they selected with, I think it was the 12th pick back in 2013 or 2014, because it just didn't work out. His name was, I want to say it was DJ Peterson, you know, and I mean, you know, these things happen. I mean, it's a big step from, you know, college to the minors and then working your way through. I mean, it's a huge step just from AAA to Class A ball. I mean, you know, the best Cubs example right now is they sent Kyle Schwarber down. I believe he hit 300 in Iowa. He came back, and while he's hitting better here, he still can't crack the 200 mark with his average. So it's tough.
He has hit close to 280 since he returned, though, which is encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been much better. You know, it's just the tough, you know, the tough part is, you know, like I know the A's especially, you know, they got three prospects for Sonny Gray, but the one they got, Dustin Fowler, he was the outfielder. I don't know how many people will remember this from this year, but the Yankees called him up, and in the first inning of his big league debut, he blew out his knee trying to catch, I believe it was a foul pop-up.
Oh, that's right.
Was that against
the White Sox?
You know, it might have been. I don't remember which team it was, but, you know, so they're taking a big risk there. They also got Jorge Mateo, who's a decent prospect in the Yankee system, and then a righty, I don't remember this name, but it's James Caprillion is what I'm going to go with here. So, yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, obviously, this is how teams rebuild now. Hopefully, you know, they obviously know a whole lot more than, like, you and I do. So we'll see how it works out.
Well, you know that a lot of them are going to fail, which shows you most of them probably will fail for all the various prospects that the team's got, because it's just so hard to make it to the major league level. And that, when you think about it, the Cubs have all their top selections over the last few years are still sticking with the big club. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, well, you know, they made their move today. And, you know, like, I know everybody was saying they were going to go out and get a frontline starter, and they were in on Sonny Gray and Yu Darvish, and, you know, even Justin Verlander came up. What I didn't understand while they were talking about this is where the Cubs were going to get the extra prospects to make that kind of deal. You know, they gave a lot away to get Yu Darvish. You know, that farm system was pretty bare. The big name left was, you know, what is it, Jamar Candelaria, and he went today in the deal they made with the Tigers. So,
right.
You know, it's always tough. You know, you wonder, you know, the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Braves, the Yankees, you know, you hear these teams all the time with great farm systems, the Astros. And, you know, like a lot of the times, especially with the Dodgers, you know, people have been harping on the Dodgers to make a big trade like this for 3 years. Now, you realize if the Dodgers would have made a trade like that through the years, they might not have Cody Bellinger, they might not have Corey Seager, they might not have Jack Peterson, and they definitely wouldn't be where they are now if they'd have made any of those trades.
You gotta take
the good and bad with this.
It's very interesting, these moves that have been made, and I do have to ask you one question. I've been waiting to throw this one at you regarding the Cubs acquisitions. I have to say it now, one time. Is Justin going to be incredible?
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? We could have some fun with that.
Yeah, we could. No, he looks pretty solid, though. His stats looked promising, to me at least, what I read about him today.
Yeah, he is. He's definitely what they needed in front of Wade Davis. You know, and when you kind of look at where the Cubs needed help, you know, once they got Quintana, they really didn't need to add another starter because Kyle Hendricks came back. Where they've had the big issues was getting the ball to Wade Davis. And, you know, Wilson had been doing that until Francisco Rodriguez kind of went off the deep end in Detroit, and he took over as closer. You know, you're looking at a left-handed guy who pitches quite a bit. He's been in 42 games. You know, he picked up 13 saves in Detroit, but more importantly, that ERA is 2.68.
Right. It was impressive.
So, that's what you need.
Will they be using him in the eighth inning now, do you think? Or it depends on who, if the
left-handed
up or not.
My guess is he's the main setup guy now. You know, he'll take over for, like Strope and Rondon and the guys who have been just so up and down this year. I believe he'll step in and, you know, fill that role. And he is, what is he here? He's just 29. Both these guys, you know,
he's under contract for a couple of years too, right? He's under contract for.
They'll have him this year, and then next year he's in arbitration before he becomes a free agent in 2019. So they'll get a little over, you know, a season out of him, a season and, you know, a couple months or whatever here. So, you know, if he comes through that.
I think they made a good deal.
Yeah, I like the idea of them having a true veteran backup catcher. You know, it wasn't doing Caratini any good to sit on the bench and play a day a week. You know, he belonged in the minor leagues getting, every day at bats. Avila's been good this year. You know, he's got a lot.
Yeah, he has.
You know, that's
solid year.
I haven't seen the move. Yeah, I haven't seen the move yet, but I guess it's I would guess it's got to be Caratini, unless Rizzo goes on the DL, because Avila can actually play some first base.
I know, but they sent one of their pitchers down, though. The Cubs sent one of their pitchers down to Iowa. But was it Dylan? I forgot.
Yeah, I saw Dylan Florio. He accepted his assignment
right.
to Iowa. He could have actually chose to be the agent. So, you know, just, you know, a good move. And, you know, Candelaria went, you know, like we had him here. He played, I got to get the number, but he wasn't very impressive in his little stint here. He played 11 games. It's just 33 at bats, but he only hit 152. So he didn't come up and impress. Maybe,
no.
you know, he'll get a more of a shot in Detroit. I mean, let's face it. He wasn't beating out Chris Bryant for the job. So
no, no way. No way. Well, you know, I always pointed this out to you before, but there are some players in the minor leagues that are not AAA players, not major league ball players, but AAAA players. And those are the ones you have to feel sorry for. Not quite good enough to make it
yeah.
To the major league level, but better than AAA. And that could be Candelario's fate.
Yeah, you know, now, you know, the shortstop they gave up, he was playing in South Bend, Isaac Paradis. 92 games. He was hitting 264, but he did have 7 homers. And, you know, more importantly, it looks like he only committed 7 errors in 611 innings. So, you know, he seems like a pretty
yeah.
an average hitter, but looks like he might be an above average defender. I know the Cubs have to give up a player to be named later, but that'll be a you know, just a throw-in guy down the road. It won't be anybody who's even on their prospect board, I'm guessing.
I'm sure.
Unless
I'm
they
sure.
have plans to, you know, dump. So,
yeah,
but yeah, you know, a lot of the, yeah, you know, a lot of the moves made sense. You know, the Nationals picked up a bullpen guy. I mean, besides Darvish, the Dodgers picked up 2 left-handed bullpen guys. You know, the Red Sox went out and got a bullpen guy. The Pirates actually went out and got a bullpen guy. I was a little surprised they made a move because they dealt one reliever and then traded for another reliever. So.
Well, if the Nationals had one weekend, so certainly their bullpen has not been strong this year. So it would appear a logical move for them to kind of bolster their bullpen.
Yeah, you know, I think they've done everything they could. You know, to go and strengthen the bullpen without having to wipe out their farm system. You know, they were another team. They gave up a ton of guys to get Adam Eaton, who ended up getting hurt, what was it, the first week or two of the season or first month. They added Ryan Matson and Sean Doolittle. Those are solid adds. But now, you know, they went out and got a guy who's been closing all year in Brandon Kitzler from the Twins. He was actually the Twins all-star, and they didn't have to give up their number one prospect, who's a guy, an outfielder they've been trying to hang on to, by the name of Victor, I believe it's Robles. So you know big positive there. The Twins have been just recently had fallen out of contention and decided they were sellers, even though they weren't too far out. But Kitzler's got, you know, 28 saves and a 2.78 ERA. So, you know, he'll be
yeah.
a good, real good add at the end of, yeah, you know, the end of that bullpen.
But as you pointed out, the Twins have really fallen apart the last few weeks, haven't they? They're about 6 or 7 games out now, and they're well behind Kansas City in the American League Central.
Yeah, you know, the weird part is as soon as they made the trade for Jaime Garcia, where it looked like they were actually going to go for it, I think he won his first start with him and everybody else lost. And they just went downhill. So, they decided to kind of break it up real fast, and they were able to dump Garcia. You know, they actually got a better deal from the Yankees than they gave away to get him. So that ended up being a big plus for them. And then here there was a lot of talk on if they were going to move Kitzler, and they ended up doing it today.
Yeah, the name's been bandied about for a while, and they got a solid player for them.
So, yeah, you know, and I think the funniest thing out of everything I saw today was Justin Verlander tweeted out a picture of him in the Tigers locker room. He was actually standing by his locker, and he put breaking news. Look, I'm still in the Tigers locker room, because, you know, they had him going everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't go anywhere. He's still a Tiger. No surprise with that contract. That's the kind of thing, if he's going to get dealt, it's going to happen in the off season, so they can work out the numbers and a little more time to get it all kind of situated. So, you know, we'll see if, you know,
don't forget, there still could be some more deals made. It'd just be a little bit more difficult now that the trading deadline has happened, because now you have to clear waivers. But I still look for some teams to make some more deals now before the end of the season.
Yeah, well, you know, the good thing about getting guys like Darvish and Gray traded before the non-waiver deadline is they probably wouldn't have gotten through waivers had they waited on them. So by getting it done now, the teams were able to get, you know, some, you know, get their stuff done. So it, you know, it works out for them. But yeah, we'll still see, you know, movement here or there. You know, like, I think the Yankees are still looking for a first baseman. So maybe something comes up there through the waiver wire. You know, there's always, you know, there's always going to be guys who end up getting moved even after the trade deadline. That's why I always laugh when they kind of call it the deadline, because it's really not.
Right. You know, there's going to be some more moves. I was quite surprised to see the Yankees make that move and overtake Boston, at least temporarily, because I thought they would be relegated to second place the rest of the season. But it looks like it's going to be a dogfight between them now until the end of the year.
Yeah, you know, they've, you know, for a team that you're used to just, you know, they just used to throw money at everything, they've done a nice job of, you know, reshaping that team with young prospects to where it looks like, you know, they're going to contend for a while. And adding Gray, I know he's got his injury issues, but, you know, coming here, he's not expected to be the number one guy. He can just kind of fill in at the, you know, the three spot, maybe two, depending on how it goes. You know, that it'll take some pressure off him, you know, and it just, yeah, their rotation becomes very formidable. You know, Tanaka just had the best outing of probably his career in his last start. Luis Severino has looked good. CeCe's been really solid. You know, I know Jordan Montgomery got knocked around yesterday, but now you got Jaime Garcia to fill that role if you want to send Montgomery down or maybe plug him in as a lefty long man out of the pen. So they're in a good spot. I mean, I think they've got a really solid shot at, you know, finding their way into the playoffs, even as a division winner or possibly a wild card.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I think getting Gray is a big, big move for them. I like that deal better than the Dodgers getting Darvish.
Yeah, well, you know, the question with Gray has always been the matter of, will he stay healthy? You know, that's been his biggest problem. You know, he started this season on the DL. I believe he spent time on the DL just about the last – I can look here. Yeah, well, last year he spent quite a bit of time on the DL.
Right.
2015, just a little bit. He only missed a couple starts then. But, yeah, so he's been three seasons in a row he's managed to end up on the disabled list. So, you know, let's, you know, if he stays healthy, obviously he's a quality starting pitcher. It's just keeping him there.
That's right. Well, I asked you that question in an email, and talking about being healthy, but do you think that the acquisition by the Dodgers of Darvish, are they worried about Kershaw being really hurt a little bit more than they would originally thought?
Yeah, you know, it's so weird with that, because just yesterday they were talking about how he's ahead of schedule, Kershaw is. He's already into his throwing program. That's how well he's felt. He started playing long toss yesterday, and he fully expects to return before they pegged it out. You know, they had him, I think it was 4 to 6 weeks. He's expecting to return before that, but I'm wondering maybe with the lead they have, if they're just going to kind of slow him down and keep him on that pace. I mean, obviously they don't need him to pitch. They're,
right,
you know, 1,000 games up in the division, and they're going to win their division. What he needs is enough starts to be ready for the playoffs. And I just wonder if they're going to do something like that where they really limit his progress. And even if he's ready, they don't bring him back. They kind of make him sit and wait and just keep conditioning to make sure.
Yeah, but as you pointed out, though, they will have to let him get a few starts in towards the end of the season. Even if they do that, at least 5 or 6 innings to get him ready for the playoffs.
So, yeah, and, you know, and that's the thing. It's going to be bringing him back at the right time. You know, I mean, I'm sure the 6-week mark would probably be a good guess because he'll have plenty of time then to go out and get ready. You know, if he goes 5 or 6 his first start, they can kind of build on that. And, you know, then by the time their playoff situation rolls around, he'll be fully up and ready to go. So it shouldn't be too big of an issue. Of course, you know, unless he has a setback, which is always possible. You know, I mean, we've got a long way to go
right.
before we'll see him
right.
again. So,
right. And,
you know, you
we've
just
seen
never
those
know.
Things happen too, right? We've seen he's healthy, he's ready to go again, and then he'll do something and tweak the injury again, and that'll be back to square number one. They don't want that to happen.
Yeah, you know, now, you know, obviously that's the thing that, you know, they have to look out for is, you know, just make sure he doesn't, you know, run into an issue. And, you know, it should be, you know, I'm sure they're watching him constantly, you know, I mean, there's
your
no
idea, I think it's a sound one. I think your idea is probably the most sound of all of them, is that maybe limit him to 5 or 6 innings once he becomes ready to go again. And so he's ready for the playoffs and no risk of re-injuring the arm again.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, to be fair, you know, that's how most starting pitchers go anyways, now it's 5 or 6 innings. So it's not like,
right.
you know, it would be any different than anybody else. They added, you know, the Dodgers added 2 bullpen pieces, so it's not like they don't have a veteran bullpen now that can go out and suck up those innings. So, you know, it's not that big. You know, it shouldn't be that big a deal for a team like that.
Well, the way it stands right now, of course, the Dodgers will wind up playing the wild card team, right, in the first round of the playoffs, which is pretty much a given. So,
yeah, that's what it's looking like. So, you know, we'll have to see how it works out. I did get it. Think it was kind of humorous that a couple guys ended up, I think it was 3 relief pitchers ended up going back to teams they had already pitched for. You know, I know, what is it? Was it Jeremy Jeffries, I think, went back to Milwaukee. And then David Hernandez ended up going back to Arizona. And then Joe Smith, who pitched for the Cubs a little bit last year, he ended up going back to Cleveland. So it's
yeah.
kind of weird how these relief pitchers can go around. So.
Yeah, then these guys have fringe players, not really the top echelon of relief pitchers, but these guys have a heck of a career, don't they, when it's all said and done?
Yeah, it's odd how you can hang around for a long time. I mean, especially, you know, if you're a lefty who can get lefties out, boy, man, you can stay for years just by, you know, just with that one skill. You know, I mean, what was it? Javier Lopez pitched, I don't know how many years with, you know, the Giants and a whole bunch of other teams, you know, and all his skill was get lefties out. He'd come in, pitch to the lefty, they'd take him out.
Yeah, some of these guys are amazing how long they can stay lefties or righties. I always talk about my favorite Cub, but Troy Hawkins, how long he stayed in baseball. But not the way he pitched for us, right?
Yeah, for some years he had trouble getting anybody.
Yeah, didn't he stick around for over 20 years, though, in the big leagues? I mean, he had a long, long career.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, ended up having a very, very long career. And, you know, for a while there, it looked like it was over. You know, he really had his issues there for a while and, you know, managed to work it out. He ended up, you know, he went from originally I believe he was a starter with Minnesota.
That's right.
And then they moved him into the bullpen and he kind of found his niche there. And, you know, that was it. It, you know, rolled from, you know, from one to the next, but you know, he had, I'm trying to grab his stats here real quick. Yeah, it's 1995 to 2015 was how long he pitched. So, yeah, 21 years.
Yeah, I always remember that he was always very appreciative of the Cub fans, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, what was his best quote in Chicago was telling the media that he could do their job and they couldn't do his.
Right.
So.
Right, that was a classic.
Yeah, you know, now, you know, to be fair, he did have 25 saves with the Cubs back in 2004. So.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't think he had that many, but he did. And but overall, hey, he did as well as Carlos Marmol, right?
Actually, I think Marmol ended up doing a little better. I think he had some big save numbers, you know, those couple of years when he was actually, you know, for a while there, he was one of the better closers in the game. It's just, you know, some of those
longevity
guys burn
wise,
out.
Yeah,
really,
he really burned out quickly, didn't he?
Yeah, well, you know, it looks like Hector Rondon is kind of on that same path. You know, he had two really good years as a closer, and, you know, that it seems like it's kind of over here. Yeah, Marmol had 38 saves and then 34 saves, 2010 and 2011.
Yeah, so, but he burned up at a young age, though, for sure.
Yeah, he sure did. I mean, even now he is what? He's only 34 now. But I don't think he's, you know, I know he tried to hang around for a while, a year or two ago, but I don't know. I don't think he's still,
no,
see
he's
if they have
he's
anything on him.
I'm sure he's out. I'm sure he's gone. He's retired.
Yeah, they had, it looked 2015-16 is the last year they have him.
Yeah,
pitching, and Lycee is, I don't even know what league this is. Oh, and the Dominican Winter League was the last place he pitched. So
yeah, I think he's done.
I'm sure. Yeah.
You're talking about Rondon, by the way. Did you see him yesterday? He looked terrific in his one inning of relief yesterday. But you know, the problem is that he's not consistent.
You know, that seems to be like his thing now. You know, he'll come in every once in a while and he'll look like the guy who saved, you know, 30 plus games or whatever it was for the Cubs back then. And then, you know, other times he comes in and you're looking at him like, man, why can't this guy get anybody out?
Yeah.
So you wonder, you know, I know he had that, you know, I know he had that arm issue. Was it last year or 2 years?
Last
I think it was
year,
last
yeah.
year.
It was last year, right, last and, year.
And, yeah, for whatever reason, he really just hasn't been that good since he came back.
Yeah, I wonder if getting Wilson will reduce his amount of innings. I'm sure it will. And Uhera.
Yeah, I would think it would.
Yeah, I think they'll probably cut down a little bit on Uhera, who started out very nicely, but he's been getting hit a little bit lately.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, you're looking at a guy who's 42, so you got to wonder how much gas was left in that tank.
That's right.
So, you know, the surprise is that Brian Dunsing has pitched as well as he has for the Cubs because, you know, he was another guy. It looked like he was just kind of slowly working his way out of baseball. And he's managed to do really well this year in their bullpen. So, you know, we'll say, you know, I think being able to add Mike Montgomery back in there will help him.
I'm sure. Whatever happened to that left-hander who did so well for them last year towards the end of the season? I forgot his name. Rob, is he still? He's in
Trinsky?
Iowa. I guess he's not. Yeah, remember when he did very well? But I guess not well enough. And I don't know how he's doing in Iowa, if he's even still with Iowa, because he certainly wasn't good this year.
Yeah, no. Well, he only pitched four innings for the Cubs this year, and he only appeared in one game. So it's not like there was much of a sample size there this year.
No,
I don't know what they saw or what they didn't see. I can tell you he is he's appeared in 10 games for Iowa. My guess is he must have had some injury issues.
Yeah.
Because he also He also pitched three games in rookie ball. But at Iowa, he was 1-1, but his ERA was 6.67. So you wonder if maybe the injuries cut into what he was doing or something. So maybe it's just one of those years he's going to have to write off and see if he can help out next year.
Right. Well, that just shows you how fragile today's crop of pitchers are.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, we're looking at a guy, he's just 25, so there's still time for him if he, you know, can get healthy and develop. I mean, we know, we've seen it. Pitching isn't exactly the strong suit in this minor league for the Cubs, so they're, they're going to have to come up with something.
Yeah, but they pretty well have cut into their top prospects now in AAA and AA ball, so.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even know, at this point, who's left, you know, when you're trying to, you know, to piece together the lists there for the Cubs. I don't even know who you would, who you would attest to being a top prospect anymore. So.
Not anymore. Well, certainly, Javi had a good day. He had a good game the other night, right? When he was 0 for 5.
Did he? Yeah, I can tell you here the top five pitchers at Iowa in games started. The lowest ERA is 4.30, and that's that Seth Frankoff, who pitched, I think, one game for the Cubs.
Yeah, well, that's not
so,
very encouraging.
No, not a deep rotation there. I know they do have, Dwayne Underwood? Is he still pitching at, what's the double A? The double A club?
Yeah, I don't know.
I know it's South Bend and Myrtle Beach in Class A, and I'm drawing a blank. In Double A there.
I'm trying to remember myself. Let me. Who?
I know once we say it, it's going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, no problem. It is Tennessee. Is just what they have it listed as here. The Tennessee Smokies.
Yeah, I just checked it out myself to make sure. I couldn't remember what it was either. Yeah, Tennessee Smokies.
Just kind of looking here. I mean, they do have a guy. I mean, a couple guys. He's only made 15 starts, but they have Jen Ho Sang, who actually has a 2.99 ERA. And another guy by the name of Zach Hedges, who has a 3.78 ERA. So they have a couple of decent ERAs there. So, you know, maybe somewhere down the road.
Underwood is still with them, but he's not all that impressive so far, Underwood. Although he has
he's managed to win 10 games. But, yeah, that ERA over 4.54, that's a little tough. So...
What about this? Is he really, this guy? I need to know if you pronounce it right. Pugliese, Pugliese. He's got a very nice ERA.
So yeah, you know, I'm wondering. I see he's made some starts, but it looks like he's a reliever. So I'm wondering, you know, which way they're going on that. Maybe he's a future bullpen guy. You just never know nowadays. The way they handle these guys. So, there is this Kyle Hendricks kid who can do games for him. Maybe he'll become something.
We hope. He looked pretty good the last start, at least. He's starting to look a little bit better.
It would take a little time to get him kind of back in his groove after... after missing that time, it always takes them a little bit to get things together. So.
Well, you know that some of these guys are not going to be with the Cubs next year. And their pitchers are not exactly youngsters, some of them, so they're going to have to address the starting pitching pretty rapidly. I don't think
I think Lackey has actually kind of made it pretty clear that he plans on retiring, he's mentioned that he doesn't want the big send-off or anything like that. So I think he'll just, at his age, I think he'll just walk away and it won't be that big a deal. And, the tough part is obviously you still have Lester, you still have Cantana, you're still going to have Hendricks. The big question is, what are you going to do with Arrieta? Are you going to pay him that money that he's under?
And there will be no hometown discount either when it comes to Arrieta.
No, the sad part is, you're looking at probably $25 million a year, minimum with the way it goes for pitching now. And I just don't know if he's, is he worth that? And you're looking at multiple years, probably five.
When was the last time he went past six innings in a game?
No, you could ask that about just about anybody nowadays. When was the last time they went past six innings?
It's different.
So,
but a guy worth that kind of money should go at least seven.
You would think.
Seems to throw a lot.
He
seems to throw so many pitches in a game. I don't know what the problem is. A lot of them get fouled off, but. But he certainly has looked better
times out. What I was interested here, I wanted to get your take on this when I heard this story today. The Cubs have announced that they plan to give Steve Bartman a World Series ring. Where's your World Series ring?
That's right. I've been a fan for longer than he has. Why don't I get a ring?
Right. So, I got to be fair. I'm still not sure if Moises Alou catches that ball. I know Bartman gets the blame for it, but I don't know if Alou catches it. So.
Yeah, it was questionable whether or not that ball would have been caught or not. But, of course, we always forget about one thing, the double play ball that Gonzalez blew. That would have got him out of the innings still with a 3-1 lead. And no one talks about that very much.
Yeah, no, it's always... Bartman is always the big story when it comes to that, even though, in reality, he didn't have a ton to do with it. It's a nice story there that
he made a nice statement to the Cubs. A nice statement, but he still wants his anonymity, I guess, right? He's not going to do any interviews once he's getting his ring.
I think it would have just been nice if people would have let him go back to games if he wanted to without harassing him, but you knew that was never going to happen. So,
you think they would recognize him? They would recognize him now if he went to the park?
Sadly, I still think there would be an idiot or two out there who would recognize him and want to cause trouble. There's always that guy at the game. So.
Did you see the incident that took place at the Miller Park yesterday with the Cub fan?
I didn't see it, but I heard about it with Chris Christie.
Right. Governor or mayor of New Jersey? Or the guy is not a very pleasant human being. He got up into the guy's face, the Cub player's face. I guess he called him.
He
tries names.
Yeah, I can't blame him. I don't want to go to the ballpark and get insulted either. It's probably not – he probably didn't do the right thing, but I understood why he did it. He's there to visit his son who works in the Brewers front office.
Right, that's right.
And, you just want to relax and watch a game. It's Milwaukee. It's not even New Jersey. It's Wisconsin. You don't govern Wisconsin. You have nothing to do with it. But, there's always some idiot who's going to shoot his mouth off. It's how people are today. They all think they got a right that we want to hear their opinion, and nobody knows how to shut the hell up when they need to.
I'm sure there were quite a few well-fueled Cub fans in attendance yesterday.
Oh yeah. So, yeah, you know that. Yeah, you know how that goes. I mean, you've been to enough games to realize.
Yes.
You know, I still remember one of my funniest stories as a kid. We went to a Cubs game when they were playing the Braves, and the guy behind us was so drunk he was cheering for Phil Niekro all game for the Braves, and he wasn't even pitching. And it just he couldn't figure out that it wasn't Phil Niekro. And then oddly, they finally brought Joe Niekro in relief, and he just kept cheering for Phil. And it was just kind of like, well, okay, he's had one too many, or probably 5 or 10 too many. So.
I remember when I was a kid going with my dad to a game, and we're in what they call them then, box seats, and a drunk Cub fan sat down next to us. We knew it wasn't his seat, okay? And after being very boisterous and drunk, he said, "I'm gonna go walk around and I'll meet you on the other side of the seats." And he staggered away, and that was the last we ever saw of him. I guess he couldn't find the other seat he was talking about. Yeah, I remember some incidents like that.
Yeah, you know, just you know, there's always at least one. You know, we know how, you know how that goes. It's just that guy. So
yeah, it's. A lot of people just go to the ballpark to drink. They don't, you know, they don't know what's going on in the game. I saw there was a home run. One of the Cubs hit a home run the other day, and or could have been a Braves player, a Brewer player. And when you could see the fans looking at the home run. There were some guys who were on their cell phones, and it was an important home run. And they didn't even know what was going on. They're busy on their cell phones.
Yeah, it's the oddest thing now when you see people who go to game with great seats and they just spend time on their phone. And it's why did you go?
Yeah, and certainly there aren't too many cheap seats anymore.
No, oh God, no. So, and I did see, you know, I know there was one afternoon game. I didn't see it. I don't think it was televised, but the Phillies actually swept the Braves. You know, the Braves have been playing real good. They were kind of working their way up the wild card standings, but they got swept by the Phillies over the weekend. They Philadelphia finished it off today. They got a 7-6 win. So hopefully everybody got their fantasy up chain, you know, in time to include these guys. I know luckily enough Hector Neris got the save, and I had scooped him up off the waiver wire a couple weeks ago. So luckily I at least managed to save in that game. But you know, everything else is tonight, and being that it's Monday,
tonight,
not
right?
everybody's in
it. Not many games tonight.
No,
I think there's only.
No, it looks like and there's a decent amount, but not a ton. Yeah, nine games, not counting the one that played. So.
I'm wondering when the Cubs finally catch up to the amount of games the Brewers have played. There's still three or four games. Three games, I think. And the Cubs are four games ahead in the loss column, which is very significant.
Yeah, you just assume that means no days off for the Cubs coming up.
Right.
You know, they're going to be playing quite a few games. So.
Well, after today, it's, three with Arizona and three with Washington.
So, yeah, you know, and like, you know, a couple of the bigger matchups start today. You know, the Red Sox are playing the Indians. That's actually going to be the ESPN game. But the Tigers open up at the Yankees, and tonight's pitching matchup is pretty good. It's Michael Fulmer for the Tigers and then Luis Severino for the Yankees. So
that
could be pretty interesting.
That'll be a good game, yeah.
You know, a couple other notable guys. You know, Danny Duffy's going for the Royals. He's pitched really well. And the King is getting the start for the Mariners today, Felix Hernandez at Texas. So, a couple name guys, decent starters to watch if you're looking.
I've been impressed with how well the Royals have played lately.
Yeah, after, what was it, a month ago, everybody was telling them that they had to sell the farm and start to rebuild. And, they got super hot. You know, they've the sad part is they can't catch the Indians. Both teams have won 9 out of their last 10, and Cleveland still has a 2-game lead on Kansas City. So, just one of those things.
Is Soler back in the minors again? Or I know that he was, they brought him up, but he didn't seem to do too well. But oh, he is back in the minors.
Yeah, they sent him back down. I assume now, since they picked up Melky Cabrera yesterday, that he'll spend the rest of the year down there trying to get right. You know, I don't know. You know, like, I didn't think his injury was that serious in spring training. But, boy, it really seemed to mess up his season. He hasn't looked right. I know he hit that one really long home run. You know, he showed a little flash there of what he can do.
Right.
Yeah, he just, ever since being hurt, he just can't seem to get consistent or get right. And you wonder if something's lingering or, you know, who knows what happens with these guys. But he'll probably
stay. This is not the first time he's been hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been hurt with the Cubs too.
He
had a couple of stints in the DL. So this guy could be, unfortunately, one of those players that is injury prone. You don't want to see that to happen. You want to see him have a good career.
Well, it was just the last couple of years he started up injuries, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
So, you know, you wonder if. You know, did they change something? Is his workout different? Maybe you'll have, they'll have to go back and kind of look and see, because, you know, he's another one of these guys. I mean, we've heard about his potential, and we just haven't had the opportunity to see it. You know, again, another guy who's still really young. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's 25. So there's, plenty of time for him to right the ship and have a really solid, really solid career.
Yeah.
So
he does seem to get a lot of leg injuries, if I remember correctly. A lot of leg injuries. For what reason, I don't know.
Yeah, you do wonder, why certain guys always seem to get the, this injury or that injury. So, but, I was wondering, it got me thinking yesterday, Adrian Beltre joined the 3,000 hit club. And I'm starting to wonder how many more guys we're going to see get there. Now, Albert Pujols is going to get there. He's only 86 away, probably not this year, but sometime early next year. But after that, I'm kind of looking, and I don't think any of these other guys on this list are going to get there. After Pujols, it's Carlos Beltran, who needs 305 hits, but he's 40. Miggy's after that. Miggy's 34. Maybe, because he can hang around as a DH. He needs 395 hits, so maybe Miggy gets there. But, I'm trying to think, I'm looking for a young player on this list, and the youngest is like 32. There's no real surprise guys here. Justin Upton at 29 has 1,414 hits. So he's a long, long way away. After Pujols, are we going to see another guy besides maybe Miggy get to 3,000?
I can't think of anybody besides him. But that's about it. I mean, it's a different breed of ball player now. I think that's going to make a difference. They don't have longevity and different kind of, they don't swing for contact, a lot of the players. A few of them do. A few swing for contact, but they all seem to go for the long ball now. And how many guys get 200 hits a year now?
Oddly, one of the funnier names I heard, they were talking about guys who were playing that could still get there, and somebody actually brought up Starling Castro. Now I'm looking here; he's got 1,244 hits, but he's only 27 years old. So he's looking like he's got, we'll give him, we'll say 8 more good years till he's 35. Is he going to be a guy who gets close to that?
He might get close to it, but I don't think he's going to make it. I figure maybe 2,800.
I mean, he does have a
2,800.
He's got a 2,000 in his career, so, he's actually done that before. I just thought it was interesting that was the name they brought up. I was wasn't even thinking that, and I'm actually a fan.
He's been injured a couple of times now recently, hasn't he? He's been out of action for quite some time.
Yeah. Well, you know, like this year, I think he came back too soon. He had that hamstring injury, and I think he rushed it back, and he ended up re-injuring it. So he's back on the DL now. But that's his first, you know, that's the first time he's missed long-term like that. He's always played, you know, quite a few games.
Yeah, he has. That he has. I think it'll be short, not by much. Maybe a couple hundred hits short. I don't think he's going to quite make it to 3,000. I could be wrong.
Obviously it'll definitely be interesting.
Yeah, it will be. It will be.
But yeah, because like I was trying to think of, you know, anybody just to kind of pop in my head, and it's just. You know, it's so tough now, you know, obviously with the emphasis on power and, you know, strikeouts don't matter anymore. I wonder, I mean, are we going to see, a Mike Trout get there? Is he going to play long enough? You know, will Chris Bryant be a guy who hangs around long enough to accumulate those stats? I just don't know with, you know, how the game goes now, if we're gonna see anybody else.
Right. Too many strikeouts, I think, for both those guys. Although it seems like Brian has shortened up his swing the last few days, but he seems to always go back then to his bad habits and going for the fences. He did it a home run yesterday, of course. Finally hit his 20th.
Yeah, you know, that's just our, you know, the joys of the new way baseball is played, where strikeouts don't matter. And
hey, what about the ex-Cub DJ LeMahieu?
Yeah, so, yeah. I did just hear, this is an intrigue game. Maybe this guy's got a shot. Jose Altuve, actually leading baseball in hits right now. He's got 146 this year. Believe it or not, he's only struck out 53 times on top of that. So, you know, definitely a guy who puts the ball in play. Let me see if I can dig up his career numbers here real quick and see where he is. He is at just under 1,200, 1,192, and this is his seventh year in baseball. He's actually had... his last 3 years, he's had 200 hits or more. It looks like he's got a good shot to get there again this year. He was born in 1990, so he's 27. So, you know, maybe he's a guy. Maybe he's the guy we're looking
at. Yeah, he definitely has a shot at it, I would say. Of all the guys you mentioned, I think he has a good chance of making it that far.
All right, well, here you go. I got the fun stats for you here. Miguel Sano leads baseball in strikeouts. Do you have any idea how many he has right now?
No idea.
144.
My God, that's unbelievable. I was going to go 100.
Chris Davis,
maybe, but not.
Chris Davis is next with 140. They're the two big guys right now. Of course, Aaron Judge with the Yankees, you know, you don't hear about this part of his game because he's got 33 bombs, but he has 134 strikeouts. He is hitting .302, though, so he's making up for it. I'm looking here. I don't see one. It looks like, you know, we're used to the Cubs striking out a lot, but they don't have anybody really up top here. Let me see if I can find one. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Kyle Schwarber, even in his limited playing time, is tied for 39th in baseball with 95 strikeouts.
Yeah, he's been doing that again lately. In the last couple games, I saw him. He struck out.
But, yeah, it's just kind of...
Right? I didn't realize.
Yeah, well, you know,
and
again, it's one. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things now where, you know, nobody cares. You know, you can look at it, you know, like the another guy who's up here, Joey Gallo of the Rangers. You know, he's played 94 games. He struck out 127 times, but he's got 25 home runs. So even though he's hitting 200, nobody cares because he's got 25 home runs.
Yeah.
And it's That's just kind of like the art of baseball, right? The art of baseball is slowly getting lost here for power.
Even if a guy has a lot of home runs and a lot of RBIs, unless he's hitting at least 250, I don't consider him a complete ball player.
Right. Well, you know, that's why, you know, a little bit
is not acceptable.
No, you know, with Judge hitting 302, I can understand the strikeouts.
Right.
You know, it's part of his game. But he's also walked 74 times. So, you know, while it's not acceptable, it's kind of acceptable. But, yeah, you know, you look at some of these other guys, you know, and he's the only 300 hitter on this list. Sano is at least hitting 267. There's a couple guys who are hitting in the 270s, but, you know, there's a lot of guys. You know, there's a 203 down here, a 216, a 218. You know, those are just ridiculous numbers when you're striking out. You know, already over 100 strikeouts, that was two or three seasons for guys like DiMaggio or Ted Williams.
Yeah.
So,
years ago, those guys would not be in the major leagues with averages like that.
No.
Despite their power. I mean, you can't put up with a guy hitting 200. That's just not acceptable, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it was, like, weird because, like, over the weekend, you know, I caught some of the Indians-White Sox series, and the Indians were oddly winning games by getting guys on, moving guys over into scoring position. And then, you know, they would hit a fly ball or something and they would score on a sacrifice fly. But nobody does that anymore.
That's good baseball. That's good baseball.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I got a chuckle the other day. I think it was, I don't remember who they were playing, but Ben Zobrist, who's a utility guy and should be able to handle the bat, tried to sacrifice bunt and literally looked lost in the batter's box. I'm really surprised the ball just didn't hit him. He was so clueless trying to bunt. And I'm thinking, this is a guy who's been in the majors for I don't know how long, you know, probably 10-plus years now, and he can't get a bunt down.
Yeah, that's not acceptable. Well, he has one more year left in his contract, correct? Does he have one more year left?
I think they signed him for 4 years, so I think he's got two.
4 years, but he certainly looks like he's on the downside of his career.
He is.
I mean, he's 220. I mean, that's all the money they're paying him. But he did something.
Well, you know how it is.
Forget.
You know, that age catches up with you. You know, no matter who you are.
That's me. So, sure. So,
you know, just
4-year deal might turn out
one of those
not turn out too well for the Cubs, but. We'll always remember what he did last year.
Yeah, he won back-to-back World Series, one with the Royals, one with the Cubs. So
that's right.
You know.
That's right.
Oh, all right. Well, it means it's time for you and I to get out of here. But big thanks to Stu for filling in for Dan. Hopefully Dan returns tomorrow. If not, Stu and I may be back at 5 o'clock. You'll just have to check in. You know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. The Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. Jump on and follow that. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com. Thanks for filling in. Do it. See you tomorrow.
All right.